Satsang with Maitreya, October 5th, 2001.
Welcome to the mission of Maitreya conference room, or chat room. And this is Maitreya from the mission of Maitreya. We are here to present the mission to humanity and talk about the revelation of the mission of Maitreya. This is the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, which Hebrews used to believe that the Spirit of God will come to earth and will bring, you know, joy and grace to humanity. And actually that was when they expected for the Messiah to come in that time, the Feast of Tabernacle. That was the final feast of the year, of the 7 year, seventh feast. That if you go to Leviticus 23, it talks about the seven, you know, holy days, or the feast of holy days. This is the last one, was the tabernacle of that year. So that's why every time we have the Feast of Tabernacle, the energy is very high. Everybody who comes to the feast, they feel the energy, they feel the presence of God. And now imagine if every human on earth is going to celebrate the feast, the whole earth is going to be lifted up to the highest, you know, consciousness. And we are going toward that goal, but of course humanity is not ready yet for accepting, you know, the unity of all religions and humanity as one. Isa Maitreya is the fulfillment of the prophecies that eventually revelation will come that will unify all humanity. Every religion on earth, every major religion on earth has prophesied that eventually the kingdom of God will come on earth, and human reach a point that they're going to put their sword away and their warmonger mentality will not be there, and the peace will come to humanity, and eventually we're going to have God as the king and the ruler and the accepted lawmaker of human beings. And of course, if we look at the religions and the separation and destruction that has brought to humanity for the last 6,000 years, we will be very skeptical and we say, how is it possible that there have been 1,400 wars for religious reasons among humans, and each time they fought for religion, they brought a lot of destruction to humanity, and never peace came. But the fantastic about our teaching is that it reveals that God said He's going to do things in the last 6,000 years, and He did them. Therefore, very simple, you can see, well, whenever God says something, He's going to do it, He has done it. Therefore, He said the peace will come on earth, and He will bring the peace on earth. Now, well, we have come here and we claim, yes, we are here to do that peace. We are the, you know, forerunner of the peace on earth and the goodwill to man. And some people say, good luck. You know, you dead people have been trying to bring peace on earth for the last 2,000 years. It has not happened. How is it possible? Then we say, look, God said this thing He's going to do, and He did it. Now, He has proven in this mission that it is the last revelation, because the prophecy are fulfilled according to what God said He's going to do and bring. And that prophecy, of course, is the yardstick for all of us to know who is saying the truth or who is not saying the truth. Who is the false prophet, who is not the false prophet. Of course, some people come to say to us, you know, there are going to be many false prophets at the end of the world. It's true. But one of them is the one that God sent. Okay? Everybody who comes is not a false prophet. One of them is the correct one. Now, how do we know that who is the correct one, who is the false prophet? God says, I tell you the prophet, I foretell how he's going to come. Okay? If that person came and he fulfilled all these prophecies, and then I gave him the unification of all religion, and he talks, he's my mouthpiece, therefore you have found it. Okay? And it's interesting, it says, if they tell you go to the, it's in the mountain, don't go. If it's in the city, don't go. You don't have to come here. You are right there and you are hearing the words that is the fulfillment of the prophecy and God's revelation to all of us. Therefore, we can go ahead to our website, look at the prophecies. The prophecy fulfilled with this mission and this revelation, no other prophet ever fulfilled all these prophecies as fulfilled in this, you know, mission and revelation. And they say, then after you read them and you understood them, then you will say, and this prophecy is not the one I find out and say, here's there, I could do this, I could do that. No, it is found with other people. And they came and told us, you see, you fulfilled all these things. And we say, oh, okay, great. Then our faith even greater in what you do because it is from God. Or maybe, you know, God wanted that to be done. Because if the third person come and say, this is the person, is more credible than I stand and say, yeah, I am that person. It's just like a little egoistical there that there is no ego. I'm giving this on God giving it through me, and just a, you know, vessel for God's will here to all of us. So go read the prophecies to see if they are fulfilled. Test the spirit, you know, and then read the word of God. He said there's going to be seven seals, seven revelations. There is going to be a book sealed with the seven seals. And never, ever, I've said this many times, in any event in the scriptures, the whole universe rejoiced. But when the book was sealed with the seven seals, was open. So, therefore, that is our miracle. We teach you how to heal yourself. So that's Christ said. If I heal you, what good does it make? You haven't learned how to heal yourself. I can throw the spirit out of you, and the spirit is going to go and what? Find seven even more vicious than itself, and come and see the house is clean, and say, oh, okay, good. Christ is not around either. I can go in. This person doesn't know how to lock me out of, you know, this spirit. And the state of the person is going to be worse than it was before. Okay? So if you learn the mission, you learn how to heal yourself. And many techniques can be given to you to heal yourself without needing somebody else to heal you. So this one, this time, this miracle is the book called The Holiest of the Holies, though the Last Testament. That is the book that was sealed with the seven seals and has brought to humanity to tell them, look, each part of your religion is true. There is some truth in it. You know? But it is just a part of the truth. It is not the whole picture. You know? The example I always, you know, refer to is the very, you know, famous story about five blind men and an elephant. Each blind man holds one part of the elephant, and the one who had the trunk says, it looks like a hose. The one who had the, you know, the tail says, no, no, it looks like a snake. The one who got the task is, oh, no, it's very smooth and very nice and very hard in touch. And the one who got the leg said, no, it's a bit similar. And so each of them had a part of the, you know, elephant, and they were fighting with each other. No, it looked like that. No, it looked like that. And then the man with the eye came and said, that's interesting. There's five blind men, and there's five asleep in the eternal blind man. That's amazing. So you can see that the man with the eye came and said, look, you are all right. Okay, yes, it looks like the cylinder. It has a tusk, it has a trunk, it has a tail, okay, it has an ear like a leaf. But elephant is not an elephant. You have to put the whole thing together and add load in the body and the top and the eye and the rest of the elephant together and say, no, this is elephant. This is what God. And that's exactly what God revealed to us, that no truth is the final truth until the seventh angel comes. It is the seventh revelation comes. Before that, everybody was just revealing a part of the truth. Okay? And that is proved everywhere in this time in the scripture. Every prophet in the Old Testament always foretold there's another one that's going to come. Then the Christ came, even Christ said that the kingdom will be taken and given to you. Prophet Muhammad comes and said, I didn't reveal the whole thing to you. Okay. Bob comes and says, yes, there's going to be Master, or he who has, who will manifest will come. We say, no, that's it, finished. This is the last one. Nobody's going to come after this. Either you understand what God's plan is now, or you're going to miss it. Of course, if humanity realizes that today, and come together, we will not have this war we are going for. We're not going to have the destruction that's going to come to us. If they all understand that there is one world, one humanity under one God, and come and listen to our teaching, they don't have to have fight and war and destruction and all the things on the earth. Of course, unfortunately, we know, we can just see even in this little work we are doing right now in the internet, there are a lot of people that are adamant that they are right. They are the people that are right. And apparently they have to go through a period before they realize they have no choice but realize there is one God, one humanity, and come together. The teaching is very simple, okay? It has five steps and two results. The first step is God ignores spiritual forces. Know thyself to know God. That covers all mystical paths. It includes Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, Kabbalah in Judaism, saints in Christianity, Sufism in Islam. So that covers every aspect of the mystical path. Mystical path is so vast, and each individual has their own way of awakening the spiritual forces. Some people meditate. Some people go for the ride, the long drive. Some people go to the mountain fishing. Some people, they have a way to calm their mind down. Okay? But that is what mystical path of path is. As the spirit of the teaching, if you don't understand the mystical path, you don't understand what God was talking about. You don't understand the mystical part of Jesus. The second is, after you meditate the beginning of the spiritual, what do? You just say, oh, I'm okay, I'm up there, and you know, I don't care about anybody else. God says, no. That's when he reveals the Old Testament. In the whole Old Testament, you will see God is trying to find a community. It's because the tribe of Israel who accept God as their king and who follow the laws of God. So we can see the next step in the spiritual path is the creation of the communities of light. That's what we call those communities. Actually, Israel means the children of light. If you are in the communities of light, you are a child of light. So you have to be in the communities of light to be a child of light. So, and children of Israel, or the children of light, is not a race, it's not a religion. Anyone who follows the eternal divine path is the child of light. Okay? And then, after to create these communities, you have to sacrifice in the community. You can't be in the community and say, what is it for me only? And then, I'm the Israeli person, you know, I'm the only thing, you know, I want to give to God, I'm going to get all of this. Of course, if you do that, again, the ego comes in, and ego means separation and destruction and all that. The next step is sacrifice. But who brought sacrifice? Who was the most, you know, symbolic of sacrificing even himself all the way to the cross for his ideal? Christ. Of course, if you read, there's more to it, he released the grace and all that. The grace is taken away at the time of the, you know, Adam and Eve and all that. But his message was sacrifice. You have to sacrifice in the communism in order to create come to life. Now you sacrifice a lot, but nothing happens. What happened? You get depressed, you say, I've worked so hard and nothing is happening. Or you start doing it, everything just starts happening and say, oh wow, look at me. I'm such a great spiritual teacher that everybody follows me and start creating these communities. Look at me, so great I am. That's when the concept of surrendering comes in. Surrendering means I do the work, but surrender the result to God. Okay, that means I'm not attached to it. I do my work, I do my best. If it happened, great. That's what God's doing through me. If it didn't happen, maybe I'm making some mistakes. I should look at myself to see what am I doing that's not working. And get rid of them and do the things that work. So you improve yourself, you become more perfect. And as Christ said, be perfect as your Father. That's the process of perfection. You make a mistake, you sit back and meditate on it and say, well, what was the mistake? Why is it not happening? Why is it not doing okay? You say, it's me coming more through than God coming through me. So that's what the mistake happens. Would God make a mistake? If he comes through, God doesn't make a mistake. He's perfect. How can you make a mistake? So if you let him come through you perfectly, you shouldn't make a mistake. So once you make a mistake, what is that? Your ego is coming through. You're not doing it. You are doing it. You're not letting God come through it. No? You become rigid. You become attached to the world. You say, oh, this I do. I'm good at it. Or you know, if it didn't happen, okay, you just say, depressed and say, oh, I did wrong. Okay, I'm so sorry I did it wrong. Well, don't be sorry. Just learn from your lesson. You know, listen, don't be so harsh on yourself. Just say, okay, it was a mistake. What in me that made me mistake? Okay? Then you improve yourself as you learn your lesson and go ahead. And that's the surrendering of the result and action. Even greater than surrendering the result is being submissive and say, okay, God, you do it through me. Let me, as that saint said, I die in Christ, and Christ is more in me, and I am less in there. The Christ is more in me. So you become, God become more and more in you, and you become less and less and less and less, and eventually you're not there anymore. So God comes through all the time. So you become the teacher of the man. You can go and talk to God, revelations of God, and you understand go perfectly. And you say, that makes sense. I love this. It's just nothing makes sense in my life. But now, when I read this and understand this, it makes sense. Okay? Because it's really truly freeing me from my ego, freeing me from my, you know, destructive tendency, freeing me from my subconscious mind, is always telling me what to do, what not to do, you're so bad, you're so, completely make me depressed. But if you go through the path of surrendering of the job, eventually you reach a point, you let God do it for you. Okay, you're flowing off, you're in a dancing in the Spirit of God. Okay? And you come through without, you know, realizing what God is doing to you. And whatever you do, become perfect. And everybody starts praising you and say, wow, oh, you're perfect, Lord. Everything you do is so good. Everything you do comes up okay. And then you think, I'm not doing anything. I'm just, you know, enjoying it. I'm just watching this thing happen. Just that saying that you're at the top of the bridge and you see the river goes under it. You're not attached to the river. The life goes on and on in front of you, and you watch like a movie and say, wow, it's fantastic. Just like, you know, the Hindus say, you know, that God is observer, he's a witness entity. He watches all the time. He knows exactly what to do. And then, if you let him do it through you, then you become observer. God does the work through you, and now you can sit there and you observe things happen. That's submission. Submission means that God do the work through you. Therefore, the fourth step is surrendering and submission. That's exactly what Islam means. Islam comes from the word taslim, means to be surrendered and submissive to God. So that is, if you are surrendered to God and you let God do through you, you know, what happens? You become one with Him. Isn't that the goal of the spirituality, to become one with God and become perfect as the Father in heaven? Of course, we have to realize that, you know, Judaism is different than Jews, Hinduism is different than Hindu, Buddhism is different than Buddhist, Christianity is different than Christian, Muslim is different than Islam. But if we realize that, we don't believe Islam or God on His revelation. We blame on dogmas that people follow. The dogmas create destruction and all, you know, separation we have. Now, when I submit myself to God and I do my work in my environment and my home and my family or even in my community or in my country, and I'm very attached to it, community, my country, everything I was going to do, I'm separating myself from everything else around me, don't know. Okay, that what is everything? How can you separate anything? Okay, then you have to expand your consciousness. Say, no, I'm the child of the universe. The universe is my home. God is my father and mother, and I am here to do His will. If any separation, anything separates from anything else, doesn't express the spirit of God. Because God is everything. The moment you separate something from something in the universe, you fall. You fail. You are not expressing the Spirit of God. Therefore, we can see that the next step is universalism. You have to become a universalist. Expand and destroy any knowledge of the mind. I said, my family, my, you know, community, my country, my earth even. No. You are a child of the earth, and you have to expand your consciousness. Anybody, if somebody, you know, suffers in planet Jupiter, if there is someone there, you have to feel the pain of those people. And that is why that universal brings more sharing between humanity and eventually the communication comes, feeling the pain of the whole earth instead of feeling our own pain only. Okay? And then you become university, you shatter all the narrowness of the mind. If that's where narrowness of the mind comes, then your consciousness becomes small. My religion, my thing, my that. Okay? So the desire is that if you follow, if you recognize this process, if you direct that faith comes of blood, if you sacrifice what comes of blood, if you surrender submission, submit the word you do, what comes of blood, and become a universalist, that's what God in every the scripture calls what? My elect. Okay? That is how you become an elect of God. You become a child of God. That is the sixth seal. That this, actually, this feast is, the theme of this feast is the sixth seal. Of the next year, that is the seventh seal. And we go to the first seal, second seal, third seal, and on and on. So every year, we've got one of the seals as the theme of that, you know, feast. So, in the sixth year, you become an elect. You become a person who meditates, have energy with your forces. They direct all their energy to create the comings of life. They sacrifice them. They surrender to submit themselves to God, or let God come to us. And become universalist and shatter all knowledge of the mind. So you become a universalist, and you become a leader of man. You become a divine. And of course, such a people can teach the rest of humanity, this teaching, and as you see, having a research process was all the mystical path, Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, Kabbalah, as we explained. The second seal is Old Testament. God is trying to find a community that accepts Him as God. The third is New Testament. The fourth seal is sacrifice. You know. The fourth seal is Islam, submission and surrender. The fifth seal is Baha'is. And the sixth seal, of course, is the Baba that he linked up the house involved to that seal. And that you can see, wow, all the mystical path. Old Testament, Hebrews, New Testament Christian, Quran, Muslim, and Baha'i, and the people in another body. Six are unified. That covers probably 99% of humanity. And can unify them. We are hoping they listen to it. We are hoping they come tomorrow and say, well, my child, you make sense. What's wrong with you? Let's spread this everywhere and then unify all these people and craziness on earth. Okay? But, you know, we are not naive to believe that. We can say, we are going to wait. We are going to just call the elect to ourselves. And wait for humanity to go through this craziness they're going to go. They're going to go through the tribulation that God said is going to come out. But you're going to be cut with the mission, with the Christ, in, on earth. We're not against anyone. We are not for anyone. We are for God. Okay? That's what we're going to do. We're going to just wait for them to go through this craziness they're going to go through. And at the end, like every, you know, when they had World War First, they had that court in Europe to take care of the problem on the between nations. That didn't work. Then they had the Second World War, they created the UN, United Nations. And they thought probably that's going to, you know, solve the problem. It did not. But they sound like they need another World War. And after they came out of it and said, okay, my dear, well, maybe you have something there. We are now ready to listen. Okay? But if they listen today, we can have peace in the world another. This is a teaching, okay? The people are new in the room, or, you know. Of course, any time I explain the teaching, it comes differently. Probably I have explained it hundreds, thousands of times, and each time it explains differently. And that is the teaching and basis of our teaching. And you have heard it in the room. You are the new, and you are the old. You know what this revelation is. Now we leave you to God, whatever you want to do with it. Okay, we don't have a time. It's beyond the cost. We don't even keep people during the mission. If they want to leave, it's fine. bye-bye, have a good life. So it's not a call, it is understanding what each individual do and find out what it really means, how all the prophets are put in, and how you actually can bring the kingdom of God. So now we go ahead and we answer any questions there might be. Is there anybody hands up? Okay. Yeah. All right. One thing here that is the bloom of the Mishnah of Maitreya, and we ask everybody to stay on that topic. We appreciate that. And as I said, do not type any, you know, preaching. Do not speak any preaching here. We know about your religion. We know about your teaching. We know about Hinduism. We know about Buddhism. We know about Kabbalah. We know about Sufism. We know about the saints in Christianity. We know about Old Testament, New Testament, Islam, Baha'i. We know all your teachings. Okay, we have read them. We have meditated on them. All the members in the mission are encouraged to know all about this religion. And they know the truth of your religion, and they know your dogma. Okay? What you believe, mostly we believe, is your dogma. Don't come and teach your dogmas to us. Come here to learn about the mission of Maitreya. If you are not in the mission of Maitreya, go to a room that talks about your dogmas and you feel good about it. Okay? But if you come here, this is our church. This is our place. Please respect it. Please be on the topic, talk about the mission. If you are not interested, you know, please leave and go somewhere that, you know, serve your interest. We do not come to your rooms to preach our preaching. We are just calling the elect to come together. If you are not elect, if you are a fundamentalist in anything, don't come here. We are not the apologists about our teaching, because we know our teaching is true. So please stay on topic, and if you have a question, go ahead.
There's a question on the screen. Someone channeling Maitreya.
Okay, we are just channeling God, okay? There is only a spirit of God on earth and on the universe, and there should not be any medium between you and God. You have the ability to connect to God directly. You do not need a channel to channel anybody for you. Okay. That is the problem that starts in many religions, and that is people become dogmatic because they listen to the priest, they listen to their rabbi, they listen to their brahman, they just listen to the mullah. And in every religion, you know, they have a channel, something between themselves and God. I'm here to tell you, don't listen to your preacher, don't listen to your, you know, mullah, don't listen to your, you know, anyone, but understand the dough and the teaching of the mission, and then conform it with God directly. You don't need a medium. God said that you and have direct relationship with Him. That is the human ego has created to disconnect you from God. Then we have the brotherhood of the light that they do the same thing. They have Master M and Maitreya and this and that, and then people channel Maitreya, and how many people channel Maitreya on earth? And each of them say different things. What kind of Maitreya is it? He changes his mind every time he somebody channels him? Okay, don't you ask that to yourself? How come this channel say differently than the other channel when they channel the same person? You don't need channels, get rid of them. Okay, go to God directly. You don't even, don't need me, I'm just here to give you the message. Okay, you shouldn't even get that back to me and my body. Okay, and say, my dear said that, therefore I'm not going to think. I'm going to just, my dear, think for me. God gave you brain. What does He give? God gave you brain. If you want to just robots follow, you know, the teachers. Get rid of the teachers. Kill, you know, I like that book, if you saw the Buddha, kill him. Okay, why? It doesn't really mean you kill him. Don't come and kill me here. But what it means that Buddha just gave you the answer, gave you the message. Don't listen to your friend, don't listen to your colleague, don't listen to the things the people tell you. Use your brain, use your, you know, understanding. Okay, God gave you intelligence, God gave you hands, feet. Why? read the law, the greatest revelation ever have come to humanity. And then think about it. Test their spirit. So those who are following the channel or trying to understand God to other people, they will not going to make mistake. They are going to fall, you know, to the traps of the spirit and ego. And either they, and one thing you also, you can know what is a false prophet. A false prophet is the person who connects you to themselves. Okay? They tell you, you have no power. Come to me. I'll guide you. You know, you poor little thing. You don't have any brain or any ability to do it for yourself. I'm going to do it for you. Okay? If you have to give me a couple $1,000 and come call me this 800 number and charge you that much of money every minute and this and that. All of them are the false prophets. They are telling you, you don't know, you can't know, you don't have the ability to know. But God says what? Search. Not. And you will find it. Why? Yeah. If I search and find and ask, I'm going to find it. That's what God is telling you. You don't need anybody. You can do it yourself. Okay? So here in this mission, they're channeling no one. They're giving you the highest revelation from God based on the scriptures, based on his, you know, revelations, and they're asking you to go down the study and become an independent, you know, searcher, ask God. Okay? And you'll find it. And you can do it in our website. Go there, search it. That's what we're asking you. From there, when you search it and find it, if you find something there, you didn't understand it, come here and ask. We would be more than glad to answer you. But don't come here to preach us and tell us, oh, why don't you have this one? Why don't you have a communion that we have in our church? You know, why don't you drink wine with the bread? Or why don't you do the namaz or prayer 5 times a day? You know, because this is a new wine. You cannot put it in the old skin. Okay, you are trying to put something, you know, in the size of the universe to the bottle of your, you know, belief in your religion. So, expand yourself. This is a new mind, this is a new way of, I'm trying to free you from all those bondages. The bondages of the religion, the bondages of the church, the bondages of the priest, the bondages of the channels, the bondages of the psychic. These are all bondages you are in. Free yourself from them. You don't need them. God is with you, connected to Him directly. Those are the bondage that they are putting you, the preachers, okay? The teachers. I hope that our teachers won't become the same as the teachers in other religions, that they connect people to themselves instead of connecting to God. I let our teachers to connect God, people to the mission, and the mission connect them to God. Okay? Don't become opposite from the path of God. Just like God agrees between you and God, but you get so wrapped up in looking at the bridge and say, what's such a beautiful bridge? Look at that. He's so good intellectually, so fantastic, he talks so wonderful. Eventually, you get so bogged down with the bridge, you never fucking go over it. You're going to be staying on the bridge for the rest of your life. The goal is not reached. So, no, they're not channeling Maitreya. Maitreya is here himself, and he is channeling God directly to you. He don't have any medium between us. And I tell you, go to God directly, through your meditation, through your spiritual practices, even the mission, purify yourself, and one day come to me and say, Maitreya, you were right, that's my father, than any other channel or teacher or anybody who told me what to do, where to go. And then your brothers and sisters, and you work together, you know, to get this mission done.
Well, this question is some double faith guide advice. Use our heads, use the brains of our creatures, and not let it be in the garden. And not take the creatures as false prophets.
He is right. If I am a false prophet, you should not listen to me. That is why I am asking you, go to the web, test the spirit, read the fulfillment of the prophecies, and then decide for yourself. Do not listen to this guy either. Okay? But I am asking you to prove it for yourself. And as far as you haven't proved it to yourself, then you come into this room, don't preach. Then you prove it to yourself, come here, and then we talk about it.
Okay. Well, you said to go to the website. You can't just hear it in iPhone in the website, and then you're really doing a lot of the things that,
Did you hear anything I said?
God, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ is from the flesh, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ coming in the flesh is not from God. And also it says that every knee will bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you do that, you bend your knee and confess Jesus Christ is Lord.
We do acknowledge that Christ came as, you know, as a person 2,000 years ago. Of course, you keep saying Jesus, there is no J in Hebrew. So, and no one called him Jesus but the Western world. And that is an abbreviation for J in the Sanskrit, means victory, and Zeus, which means victory to Zeus. So you really, when you say Jesus, you are saying victory to Zeus. You are not acknowledging the Messiah who came 2,000 years ago as Christ. And actually you are the one who is the false prophet. And you are the one that is teaching falsely. And you even don't know what his name is. And then you claim you're following the Messiah, which his name never was Jesus. And Bible says you are saved by his name. Okay? But we believe in the Christ that his earthly name was Isa, okay, and his spiritual name cannot be pronounced as we have taught in our teaching. So clean your eyes and take the beam out of your eyes first before coming here and trying to judge the revelation, the greatest revelation ever come to humanity. Then look at yourself first. That is completely shows you haven't read our teaching, you haven't been in our website, you don't know what our teaching is. Because we do acknowledge Christ. We do acknowledge he came in the flesh. We do acknowledge that he is the Son of God. Whoever does not believe that he is the Son of God is the false prophet. We do believe he is the Son of God. Okay, so you don't know our teaching. We do acknowledge Christ. Okay? This teaching is the new wine in a new skin. It is the truth that it's going to fall to someone, some people and flourish, and some people that's going to never get it because they are so full of their own dogmas and their cup is filled. Okay? And they never, no matter what I say, they just keep their own little dogmas and never let this get in. So please go and take your children, go to our website, read about it. Then I understood it. Come ask question.
Hello, Maitreya. I have a question here in the chat room. It says, what part of Revelation does Maitreya fulfill?
The revelation of the coming of the seventh seal. Okay? The opening of the book sealed with the seventh seal. It is called the Holiest of the Holies, the Last Testament. The Holiest of the Holies, abbreviated to THOTH. It has nothing to do with the God in Egyptian God or anything. It is an abbreviation. Of course, it's kind of a thing on the word at the same time, but really it has nothing to do with the God in Egyptian mysticism. Okay? So, don't take that as a Egyptian God, but it means the holiest of the holies. It is being prophesied to come in every region that there's going to be a scripture that every sentence in that scripture you can write 1,000 books about it. Okay? If you read though and you understand it, you will realize, oh, I can write a book just about one that sentence. And if people will write about this sentence 1,000 books, right? And this is the one that is being prophesied to come in the chapter 5 of the Revelation, the book that no one can open but the Son of God, okay, Christ, okay? So if that is true, then if you realize that, then you will realize what you are presenting here to humanity. Okay? So it is up to you to see that. I'm not saying even who I am or what I am, no claim here. I want you claim it after you realize what it says and what it is. Okay? Therefore, and also prophecies. You can go to the Torah and see all the prophecies are fulfilled to this point. The Hindus' prophecies, the Buddhist prophecy, the Christian prophecy, the Jewish prophecies, the Muslim prophecies. This is the time. That is the end time. Hello, human. Wake up. This is the end time. This is the time to get together. You're going to blow yourself 50 times over with the amount of the bombs you have. When you blow yourself once, why do you need another 49, you know, bombs to blow yourself up? Go ahead. I'm not here to change your mind. Go ahead and blow yourself up. Okay? That's fine. I'm just giving you another alternative. I am saying God, that's the what God wants has to be done. So what process is fulfilled? Again, go to the website. Read our teaching. You can look at the God said there's gonna be 7 seals, 7 churches. That is the 7 revelations come to humanity. If you look at the greatest sign, there are 7 seals in there, and each seal represents 1 religion or more that have come to humanity. Therefore, the 7 seals or the 7 revelations have come here, and this lens is the 7th one, the last one, the last dispensation for God. And after this, the kingdom of heaven will come on earth after human went through this craziness that they have forced to go through. Okay? And hopefully, but not by the year 1917, a lot of humans will realize that their way is full of dogmas and hold and destruction, and they have no choice but to realize this one world, one humanity, under one God, and that is when the kingdom of heaven comes. There is a lot of prophecy is fulfilled here, and that's your yardstick for just going to the website and studying those prophecies. After that, we are teaching. If you have questions, any of them, please come here and ask us. I'm very open to it. But don't come here and tell us, you know, that we already know. We already know about, you know, dogmas in there. I just explained it to these people. We know about your dogmas. We know about channeling. We know about the brotherhood of the God. We know about Master M and this and that. We know all those things. Okay? Don't come and tell us. You already know. Why do you want to teach you something you already know? Come here and learn about the new one. So if you again go to our website, you will see many of the problems there. I hope I answered the question. If you have a follow-up, go ahead.
Numerous questions. How does one sing your mantra?
We have a universal mantra, which is Hari Om Shri Ham Om Nam Kevalam. And that connects to your breathing. When you sit in the meditation, you can sit in a very comfortable place. If you like, you can sit in a chair. Or you can sit in the lotus pose, but don't lie down, you're going to fall asleep. So, somewhat comfortable, but not comfortable that makes you fall asleep, okay? Because that's another trick of the mind. If you're meditating, the first thing you feel is, oh, I'm so sleepy, I won't go to bed, you know, as I can do the meditation. So, sitting there, the best pose, of course, is the lotus pose. The reason for it is, first of all, it's harder to sit. It's kind of a yoga posture. It makes some of your muscles stay in a very tight and stretched position, and that's what actually yoga means. Yoga means to stretch and release. Okay. So when you're sitting in the lotus pose, it stretches those muscles and awakens your chakras in a better way. And also it doesn't let you fall asleep because you're not bending on anything, and if you fall asleep, you'll fall off. Wake up. So don't put your back on something, then you're going to just fall asleep. Then you've got a nice position, sit straight, your back straight, your neck straight, and then very slowly start breathing in and passing in breathing. Breathe very deeply, yoga breathing, if you have heard about it. You feel your stomach up there. When you breathe very deeply, your stomach comes up, and then your middle part of your body comes up and your shoulder moves a bit higher. I mean, that's the best breathing. Breathing is one of the most important things in your meditation. If you're not in good air, pure air, if you do not breathe very, very deeply, you cannot, you know, meditate very deeply. So after you've got that one and you start breathing very deeply, then passes on your breathing, meditate, breathe in Hari Om, Shri Hari, breathe out Om Nam Devala, and think about the meaning. Hari Om Shri Hari means the goal of life is to become divine. Divine, of course, means become perfect as God. Om Nam Kevalam means God is everything. There is nothing, God is not there. Okay, some people ask me, where is God? I can't feel it. Look at your hand, look at your heart, look at everywhere. God is everything. God is everywhere. There is nothing God is not. Therefore, God is also you. He's closer than you than you ever could be close to yourself. Okay. Therefore, you meditate, Hari Om Shri Hari, breathing, Hari Om Shri Hari. There is a silence, there is a stillness between breathing in and breathing out. Breathe in and recognize that silence, Hari Om Shri Hari, breathing. Before you breathe out, it's silence. Listen to that silence. That silence is God. That's what it says. Be silent and know that I am God. Okay? Recognize that stillness and then breathe out Om Nam Kevalam. God is expecting. Then there is another stillness between breathing out and breathing in. Recognize that stillness again, which is one with God. Don't believe anything. Hari Om Shri Hari. Stillness. It is not Om Nam Kevalam. Stillness. Recognize that the stillness. That the stillness is the most important part of your meditation. Okay? And that is our universal mantra, given to everyone. Nobody is excluded. If you want to meditate, go ahead and meditate Om Nam Kevalam. It has twice as powerful as the mantra Om Mani Padam Hum. This is Buddhist wrote a book on that and explained how powerful that mantra is. But Hari Om Shri Hari Om Nam Kevalam, I see it's two times of the same kind of energy, even higher than Om Mani Padam Hum, comes to you and it awakens your subconscious even in a greater degree. So this is our universe mantra. Breathing, Hari Om Shri Hari, but breathe deeply. Recognize the stillness. Breathe out Om Nam Kevalam. God is everything. Stillness. Breathing Hari Om Shri Hari. Recognize the stillness. Breathe out Om Nam Kevalam. Recognize stillness.
Lou has written here that it is very difficult for me to sit in a lotus position.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know, Lou. That is a problem with a lot of people, especially in the West. We sit on the chair from the very childhood, so we never train our legs to bend down beneath us. And we are not used to sitting on the lotus chair, even in bent legs. So that is why we recommend everybody also do yoga postures and work on their body and loosen their joints. And I was very surprised that fireman in New York, he used to go to yoga classes, and that was very interesting, that to see that there are classes that we can go and join and learn how to do yoga. Of course, we have a book here that it has a fantastic yoga posture that you can probably buy from the organization called Ananda Marga. Go to their website or get in touch with them and ask them for their yoga book. It is very well written. It's very helpful to people if they want to do the yoga by themselves or teach yoga. So we have that manual here, which is very helpful. We haven't created any yoga book yet for the mission, but we recommend that one. That was the one that I became familiar with. I started my spiritual journey, and I could recognize that, you know, there is a mission, wonderful God gave me. It made so much sense to me that I dropped everything and start this mission. And of course, a lot of people are recognizing it and love it as much as I do, and of course, a lot of people don't. Hopefully the number will increase as we go on. But you can order that or can join a class, or if you know yoga, if you haven't yoga, you can do it by yourself. And that should loosen up your joints. And if you cannot see lotus pose, or it's too difficult to get there, as I said, just sit as comfortably as possible, whenever it's comfortable, but not that comfortable that makes you fall asleep. So it is not really necessary to sit in the lotus pool. That is the goal.
This is a question from Isabiris. I'm not sure how you pronounce that name. Isabiris. He should ask, what about Saint Matt? S-A-N-T-M-A-T.
Well, there are many paths out there that they claim is from God. Probably you have to know more about exactly what he says. But do you believe that no matter who, where, what has been come to humanity is a part of our teaching, because it covers the mystical path and all the religions, and no matter who or what they are part of it. And again, I give you the general idea how you can find if it is from God or not. If that gnat or whatever the name is, or the teacher connecting you or connecting to God, has he fulfilled the prophecies? Has he opened the seven seals? Has he opened the book sealed with the seven seals? If he has, and he has more truth than I do, I'll come and follow him. Okay? But if he doesn't have as much as he truth, then why follow someone who is not the, you know, last revelation of God and who has not, you know, fulfilled all the prophecies that God has given? Why do you want to follow someone that is not, you know, the scriptural, or is not based on the God's, you know, foretelling of his coming? And we don't know too much about them. We don't know about all the little paths in India. There are hundreds and thousands of gurus there that they have. I think we don't know exactly about them. But this is inclusive of all the teaching. You do not need an individual to come and teach you and connect them to yourself. So this is time for the gurus, for the mullahs, for the priests, for the rabbis, all fall away and connect humanity directly to God. If you don't tell us much about them, we don't know too much about them, so I can't help it. I just can't give you a general idea, you know, about how to feel about this.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. Okay, we have a question here in the mission from the members.
And so the revelation of the revelation was kind. And the beast was taken, and with him a false prophet that brought miracles before him, with which he deceived them and deceived the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelation 19:20. And then so it continues, the truth will be revealed even to the kings and those who have not understood it. The beast will be taken away, so the tools that make the people fall into Maya will be taken away from them. They will be burned, and the people will no longer have those tools, the things that attract humanity to the Mayaistic and egoistic assurances. The tribulation of the spiritual powers of the saints, this will happen. The beast, desires and attachments will be taken away from humanity by the... And then in the kingdom of heaven on earth, we find in verse 2 it says, they exploited the masses by the system of administration, ideas, and religious superstition.
Yes, second person is the same thing.
It's the same thing. They created classes, psychological fears, differentiated races from each other, and separated man from man by teaching mining religious doctrines. With these tools, they demobilized the masses and kept them ignorant, and then exploited them far beyond the patriots. Okay, the question is, could you speak about these tools, what they are, beyond what is said above, and how it will happen that the beast will be taken away so that the tools that make the people fall into Maya will be taken away from them? It seems to me that the teaching that Maitreya has brought to Earth and Go has already started to take away the tools that have bound them.
All right. But the question is that in the Revelation, it's to talk about the beast and then the woman who comes and eventually that he tries to destroy the truth that Christ brings to humanity, and they fight back and try to destroy the revelation that comes through him. And we saw some of these things just tonight, and today some people come to this room and trying to change things around and change their mind, or call us, you know, false prophets, and even some people say Maitreya is Antichrist. If they call Christ Antichrist also, you know, but they did not listen to his revelation and the prophecies that he fulfilled, with no justification. They called him Christ because even they know what his teaching was, how he had fulfilled the prophecies, and what he says is pure and is from God. So we can see that, you know, the world is going to fight back, but the world is in delusion. The world is in denial. The world has, forgot about God. Actually, if you say God, the world look at you. Are you a stupid or something? Just like, if you're godly, you have to be a stupid to believe in such a thing, They call him anything but God. That they avoid that. And you can see even the last 20 years, even it got worse, everything ungodly is now godly, and anybody that, follows God is looked down at. So you can see that it's getting even worse than before, because the scripture tells us that that's going to happen. And every time the new revelation comes to earth, that is exactly what happened. It's going to be a sundering between those people who are godly and those who are not godly. Those who are godly, they come and hear my word and they say, yeah, it makes sense. That is beautiful. That's what I was looking for the rest full of my life. And these are even a couple of people in this room. They came and said, yes, I was looking for this for all my life. Now I found it. And of course, some people come here and disturb our room and take over and all that. That is the hand of the devil or whatever, the beast that is still trying to hang into what power he has, even getting worse, people becoming more sensual, more, if you are not like them, they look at you like, why aren't you like this? And they come to this room and tell us about their way of thinking and all that. So, these are the tools of human sensuality, egotism, attachment, desire, and being, trying to be God himself. Of course, as I said, God is within you. You and God, you are one. But you didn't create the universe. There's only one God, the big G, who creates the universe. Yes, you can manifest God's quality. You can realize his quality and become like his gentleness, compassion, strength, the power of the discrimination. All this is a beautiful quality of God. Yes, you can become a God, a small G, then you manifest the quality of God. You can just say, I am God, because I am one with God, but my God is miserable, I'm not compassionate, I'm rude, I'm destructive, I don't know nothing about, all these wonderful qualities of God, but I'm God. No, you're not. You are in the path of becoming God if you realize God's quality as manifested. So, you can see that there's a lot of false teaching, false prophets, false understanding on earth, and that is the purification of all of them. That is what, as we purify people more and more, and more and more people let God come through them instead of being voice to God, and realize God is intelligent. He's the most intelligent being in the universe. He's not dumb that listens to the dogmas and say, to the preacher telling, okay, yeah, if you don't go to the church, your soul is going to be dark and you're going to go to hell. Christ said, your body is your temple. You don't need to go anywhere. Just close your eyes and go to your church right there. You have your church with you all the time. Okay? You don't have to go to any church. And actually, your soul is going to be even cleaner than that preacher that is trying to get you to church by fear. If I follow the teaching by fear, then I think that teaching is bad. Okay? You're not going to progress a bit. Okay? So, you can see all those tools are the tool of the ego, the tool of attachment, desires, fears, okay? That world gets us. Okay? World makes us not to free ourselves and say, no, I'm an individual son of God. I am here to let His Spirit come through me. I am not afraid of anything. I'm not belong to any, portion of this universe, but to the universe itself. My father, he is God. My mother is God. I am a child of God, and that is who I am. I do not belong to this country, or that country, or this world, or that nation, or that religion, but I am a free soul. I am absolute. This teaching is taking those tools away from them. That's why they are so
you know, adamant to establish, because it couldn't find them. There were how many priests and teachers and all prophets, there was just Christ, or Old Testament said, God is the only judge. How many people came to this room and judged us? You know, are they God that they are judging us? If they read the scripture and understand the scriptures and they know the scripture, they should say, okay, we are giving you to God. They should give us to God. And if they are false prophets, God is going to punish us and destroy us. And but if we are from God, who are they to judge us? Okay? So we can see there are a lot of false prophets, misunderstanding, a lot of pushy people, that their ego is so inflated, they can nothing else seek but their own little world. And that is why they come here and they say things and try to do things. And that's why they are the mess in this world. We have to get rid of ego, which is the only problem on earth. The ego is the problem. Ego is the umbrella we are having on our head, and we are not letting the grace of God come through. Let the ego go. That is the real tool of the beast. That is what we are telling the humanity to develop. Get rid of your ego. Let God come through. Let Him be, you know, the one does the thing through you. Would your ego simply be there and say, oh, I'm such a great guy, I have my religion, the best religion, or I'm going to separate this from that? You can see that is the tool of the beast, ego, and we are taking it away. And as more and more people drop their priests, and drop their churches, and drop their crutches that the church has given, and purified, the more they are going to flee and become the Son of God, and earth becomes little by little a better place for all of us. So we can see, yes, you're right, the process has started. We have already purified some of the members of the earth, and they have, some of them have a hard time still to get the mission, you know, to the complete understanding of, you know, what they have told them. There are still some ego left, their attachment, you know, comes up, they cannot completely get rid of it. But we're patient, we sit there and wait for them until eventually they one day say, yeah, I'm free, you know. My dear, thank you that you just commit me to God directly. I don't, you know, need to be attached to anything else. I have no ego. I'm here just to serve the mission, the purest, you know, consciousness that could ever exist in humanity. So we can see that answer to question, yes, the beast is trying to suffer, the beast is trying to hold into the worldly thing and keep the human in there. But this, one of the things about the beast or ego is it's very stupid. Okay? It's just so stupid because, you know, it after a while it self-destruct. You know? Just like people go and come, and eventually the war is started and people start fighting each other at the end of the war. Everybody forgets why they start the war in the first place. You know, the reason for it completely vanishes. Okay? And then everybody says, what am I doing here? Why am I killing the other people? And then they start very upset about the whole thing, and they start, humanity start thinking, this is not the way, this is destruction. I don't want to kill other humans. It's going to stand in your consciousness. When you shoot someone, they just don't die, no matter who she is. You know, you're not going to forget that. It's not something you can get out of your consciousness. That's why we are not a revolutionary movement, we are an evolutionary movement. God said it's going to happen, we're going to wait. We're going to just preach this. We're going to let everybody know about this purification. We're going to know that the humanity knows about this teaching. And we only connect with the elect, those who have been called, those who know in their life that, yes, I have come here for a reason, for a purpose. I have known this from the childhood, that I have come for this purpose. Now, my turn makes sense to me. I want to be with him. I want to be with this mission. I want to work for this mission. I want to go and learn more about this mission. I want to preach this mission. I want to reach out to him. I want to create promise of life. I want to be a leader of humans, and eventually, little by little, everybody is going to come. Unfortunately, as it's been prophesied, maybe thousands of millions of people might die before that happens. We wish it would not happen that way, but apparently, as you said, humanity is not coming. But the process has started. It's the process of sundering. It is sundering. Sundering means separating. Just in this room, separate those people who were wanted to preach and those who wanted to learn.
those who wanted to preach, they are slandered, they are kicked out. They are somewhere in the oblivion. Okay? But those who are here, hopefully are listening and saying, yes, that makes sense. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay. The answer is yes, it does. Okay, if there's any question, please raise your hand. We have explained to you what the vision is all about. It is five steps of eternal divine path. The result of it is the creation of the elect and coming of the kingdom of the heaven on earth. In the communities of life, everybody has time to meditate, awaken, and the process. Communities of life consists of 12 units of 12 or 6 couples. Okay. And there are 6 couples, even if 10 of them go to work, 2 of them can stay in the community and take care of the house and that the problem in the house. So when they come home, they have time to meditate there too. As it increases more and more, life becomes easier. You're going to have more time to meditate and do whatever you need. These days, people say, I don't have time for anything. I just go to work, come back home, eat, and I'm so tired I have to go to bed. I don't have time to meditate. Okay? They're right. You know, it's a very, very bad situation for a lot of people. And if they don't work, they lose their house, they lose their car, they lose their whole life. What's the description of the slavery? Slavery means you don't have any choice but go to work. All right? So it comes up like you see that that's not going to happen. That's going to happen to much more meditative and have a better environment to be. Also, people live together. It is not a human way of living, you know. Two people living in one person, or two people living in one apartment by themselves, and all this alone. It's not natural.